Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Remy. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Beth, what happened today in history? And also, this is part two of the, who are they again?
Zachary Bowen and Addie Hall case. It's the tragic New Orleans Hurricane Katrina romance gone really wrong.
Yeah, we had to cut this short last time because my vehicle needed repairs and the parts that came in. And apologies for that.
First episode, it wasn't a very good place to stop.
I figured it was a nice place to stop.
It's also something that you need to hear. So if you haven't heard part one yet, you should probably go back and listen to it.
Unless you just want to get to the nitty-gritty nasty stuff right after Katrina happened.
This is the, I'm going to say good part, but it's not good.
It's the entertaining part.
It's the entertaining part. There you go.
Earlier in the story, they suffered Katrina. Then they had looted a bunch of stuff to have a small free
it was kind of
bar
like
set up on the side of the road.
Outside bar restaurant area. They would clean up the debris from the hurricane during the day, and their little community of people that they ended up getting together that ended up staying and not evacuating would then eat and drink at their little outside restaurant type thing where they didn't charge them. They fed them for free because they helped them clean up.
Yes.
So, but then it started getting toxic. But before we get into that, what happened today in history? March 11th is the day that we're recording. On March 11th, 2011, Japan was hit by its largest earthquake.
Oh, I know how you like those and tsunamis.
Yes. I'm not going too deep into it this time, though. It triggered a devastating tsunami that ravaged the region. The disaster led to the Fukushima nuclear plant meltdown, which was the world's second worst nuclear crisis, and it forced the evacuation of over 100,000 people.
That's horrible. Yes. I like to watch documentaries about that in Chernobyl.
Yeah. Well, I like to watch documentaries on tsunamis.
Well, I'm more interested in the radiation thing. That's why I like Fallout.
Despite the successful shutdowns of the plant's reactors, failed backup systems resulted in partial meltdowns with explosions, which caused further radiation leaks. After a few months, the government made the evacuation area around the Fukushima plant bigger to cover a 30-kilometer radius. Although no one died immediately from the radiation, 154,000 people had to evacuate and over 18,000 died from the earthquake and the tsunami alone. Even though radiation levels dropped, a large area, about 371 square kilometers, stayed empty in 2021. And I don't think it's known how bad things will get in the long run yet, because it hasn't really been that
people are coming back
long
in.
Ago.
They've been allowed to move back in small groups.
Yeah. They probably do know a little more at this point, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, they confirmed the first death of radiation caused by the disaster, making it the second worst nuclear accident after Chernobyl.
Yeah, it was a mess, and it took a lot of cleanup. And it's here just recently, sort of recently, they released the contaminated water back into the sea.
Yeah, people mad about that.
A lot of countries were mad about that.
But, well, that's where apparently a lot of the food comes from, but I'm going to assume that there's all kinds of
We were talking about
things there.
Radiation contaminated water just a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Listen to the Hydro Horrors episode or whatever we called it. It's Hydro something or other.
I mean, look at all the crap that's in our processed food.
Yeah.
So we're screwed either way. Just go with the flow, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Zachary Bowen and Addie Hall. Lana at this time was worried about the father of her children because Zach had not contacted her at all. She said in the documentary Handsome Devils that she pretty much found out he was alive by putting his name in the Red Cross. If you want to hear the sources, go back to part one, because I mentioned them in the beginning. This led her to see the picture of him and Addie cooking and having drinks in the street. And eventually he ended up calling her and asking her to see the kids.
That's fair.
In the Handsome Devils documentary, it said that the only reason he was able to call was because one of the news crews that was coming to take pictures happened to, one of them had a cell phone that he let them borrow.
Exclusive interview for a phone call.
Lana insisted on meeting Addie if she was going to be around the kids because when he called her, he asked if he could see the kids. I mean, it's a reasonable request. If you're going to be around my kids, I should probably meet you.
Yes, please.
Yes. At first, Addie seemed excited about having Zach's kids around and even went to buy them clothes before they arrived.
Oh, where do you do that?
Walmart.
Aren't they in New Orleans?
Yeah.
How long has the rebuilding been going?
This is when people were coming back and
okay.
Things were Trying to get back to normal.
I'm thinking of post-apocalypticness. Like, she went to buy clothes, and by clothes, she just walked into the nearest store and busted out the window.
I don't know. I'm assuming that it was, you know, someplace like Walmart. I don't know. When the time came for her to meet Lana, Addie's attitude changed. She refused to speak to her at all. She even avoided interacting with the kids during their visits to the apartment, and at times she would lock them outside of the bedroom that her and Zach were in.
She wasn't used to sharing the man.
Yeah. Obviously, this behavior led the young kids to believe that she did not like them.
Yeah.
I would think the same thing, and I'd be like, no, Dad, I'm never coming back. You better figure something else out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wanted there, clearly. Eventually, Addie informed Zach that he would need to stay in a hotel whenever he had the kids.
Oh.
And if I was the kid, I'd be like, yeah, I agree.
I wonder if they were rambunctious or something.
Still, like, you knew, well, actually, I can't say. You knew, from what I understand, she didn't know at first that he had kids, but she chose to stick around once she did find out, even though she didn't really like it. But that's your choice. You knew he had kids. At some point, you could have left once you found out.
Yeah.
There's that. By 2006, the couple's partying, drinking, and drug use was getting much worse, and that's when they started having more violent fights. Addie became physically and verbally abusive towards Zach. Though one source said that Zach did hit her on one occasion, I couldn't find anything to prove that he was actually physically violent with her. She just happened to show up with bruises at her job, but I don't know if she was attacking him and he was trying to defend himself or how she received those bruises, like... Maybe she was attacking him and he was, like, trying to keep her away from him.
Yeah, that can go both ways.
Yeah, but it was also said that he would shoot back with verbal abuse whenever she began verbally abusing him, which that eventually happens.
A sharp tongue hits hard.
Not saying either one is right, but from what I understand, he was fine from what I read and what I looked at.
In my opinion,
and then after a while, he snapped on her.
I like a witty response over a physical response any day, just because... A lot of times you can laugh at those later sometimes.
Yeah. But there was only one person who seemed to say that Addie wasn't the problem and that Zach was the problem. Literally, in these interviews, in the documentaries, in the book that they did, there's only one person that said that he was the problem. And therefore, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to say that that one person probably had a reason to say that when everybody else, including mutual friends, said that she was the one that was physically and verbally abusive. I don't know, though. Their friends said that they would fight and break up immediately.
And immediately get back together?
Yeah.
Ah, I thought that's where we were going.
Yeah. And it was nearly every day that this was going down. So they would break up, and either that same day or the very next day, they would be right back together.
I'd be the one sitting there rolling my eyes. Sure. I've seen that happen, too.
Yeah. Some of their friends cut contact with them because they couldn't handle this daily drama.
No, why would you want
of the
to?
Relationship? Yeah.
I like friends who, when they're going through that stuff and refuse help in any way, just I like the ones who just kind of disappear on their own. They just go away.
A wonderful friend. They have to choose to fix it themselves. Yeah. Nobody else can really do anything.
I'm not the type to have an intervention.
Even if you do, it's still their life. It's their choice. And I know that's hard. On August 2006, following one of their arguments, Addie was arrested for pointing a gun at a man she was arguing with in the street. I'm assuming she got into the argument with Zach, and then he happened to leave, and she ran out into the street with the gun, and this guy was like, what the hell are you doing? And she pointed the gun at him. One of the sources said she ran back inside the apartment and changed into her pajamas to make it look like she was asleep the whole time. However, when the police knocked on the door, the man was with them and identified her as the person who pulled the gun on him, so it didn't work.
Oh, man.
She was arrested. And Zach refused to bail her out, but her friends got together and managed to come up with the money to get her out of jail.
Oh, great. Which means they had to get you out of jail in your pajamas.
And eventually, Zach began looking elsewhere outside of his relationship with Addie. He started a relationship with a man after admitting to his friends that he was bisexual.
Oh, did we cover that before?
I don't think so.
I think I was thinking about the other thing we talked about months and months ago.
Oh,
the...
Two-gun
crawlers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess he was, too. Well.
Yeah, we've covered the toolbox killers, too. Yeah, they seemed that way, too. So.
Huh. Addie's friends, though some of them were gay, said that she was very homophobic. Sorry. Obviously, she was upset because she was being cheated on. when she found out.
Yeah, she might have been homophobic out of rage.
Even before the book mentioned how her friends, some of them that stopped talking to her, she would always call them homophobic slurs and things like that, but would still be friends for some reason. And not in a joking way. Like, you know how some of
you
those
go
friends...
queen? That's right.
Yeah. It's not like that. It's... She was saying it in insulting ways. It made her more mad when she found out it was man. She began calling him homophobic names in public and trying to embarrass him in any way she could about the situation. And she got a hold of his phone and called everyone in his contacts and told them that he had AIDS.
Oh, someone did that to me.
I remember hearing about that. Addie began having financial problems. She wasn't working many hours. And at this time, I think they were separated.
I hope so.
And yeah.
It's just a...
And she was... in the process of hunting him down because he was working two jobs and getting plenty of hours with the delivering groceries and at a bar.
Is she still not have her medicine?
I don't
know. If the Walmarts are open, the medicine should be there.
See, I think that during the Hurricane Katrina, their drug use and their alcohol abuse kind of just went with them when things started getting more normal. So I think that's part of the issue, plus her bipolar. And I don't know if she's not getting many hours, she may not have been able to get her medication. I don't know.
Yeah, this is America. You have to have quite a bit of money to buy medication if you've got insurance at the moment.
Yeah. She was getting evicted from her apartment over an argument with her landlord. From one of the documentaries, I think it was the Handsome Devils one, it said that there was a toilet that was broken and the landlord was refusing to fix it. So she ended up paying for it and she was taking it out of the rent herself, which I get that.
Yeah.
So she needed to find a new place to stay. And she was able to get a hold of Zach and convinced him to get back together with her and to pay for an apartment for them to live in. And another thing, I don't know if I have it in my notes, so I'm sorry if I repeat it, but I just want to make sure it's said. A lot of the military buddies that the author was trying to interview refused to speak at all about the situation that I'm going to get into because they said he was a good guy. We're not going to talk bad about him. He wasn't a bad person. He just happened to
have some untreated issues after a while. Yeah.
And then had someone physically and verbally abusing him in the process of it. So, Zach and Addie found an affordable apartment above a voodoo spiritual temple.
Sounds awesome.
Yes. And this caused some people to believe that what I'm going to get into later voodoo demon possession thing. I don't think that, so I'm not going to go that much into that. If you want to.
It's perfect. We are a horrific history and hauntings podcast, Beth. Why can't we go into the conspiracies?
Because
we literally promised earlier we would try to make sure we would mention if things got wacky.
Yes. That's pretty much all I'm going to mention about that. If you want to hear more about it, go to part one. Zach paid for 1 month's rent and also a month's deposit.
He paid 2 months rent.
He paid 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the landlord didn't bother writing up a lease.
That's a great sign.
Yeah, that was at first because where he was able to pay that all that up front, I guess they didn't really feel like they needed to. I don't know.
It must have been a friend.
I don't think so, but I don't
trust that. If you don't have a lease, I don't trust
no,
it.
No, I want it written. October 4th, Addie contacted the landlord and insisted that a 6-month lease be written up in only her name. That's why you do the lease up front immediately. The landlord did so, and Addie kicked Zach out.
When did they get the apartment?
I'm not sure when they got it, but it says October 4th, which...
Was it a month in? I mean, did she wait 2 days and do it after they moved in? Or
I don't know.
I'm curious to know how long she allowed him to stay before she done this.
Probably not long. She doesn't seem like...
She's unstable.
Yeah. It's a sad situation, but
yeah,
it's hard to feel sorry for someone like that. Oh, I do end up feeling sorry for her, but it's really still hard.
This woman needed professional help forcefully, if necessary.
Yeah.
Judging by her behavior. Or maybe she was just mean. I don't think so. Judging by what you said, she was the medicine.
In the first episode, it said that it was drinking at that time. That is when she got really cruel, which I understand.
And he wasn't really that stable himself sometimes, so.
Yeah. They both needed professional help. And like I said, in America here, I need professional help, but I can't get it because I can't afford it. I really do wish that we would be sponsored by that Better Help, I think it's called.
Yeah, that's what
and
it is.
And literally all you have to do is just, I will advertise if you just allow me
give
a free
me
subscription to it.
Give me the help I need, please.
That's literally all I need. You don't need to pay me anything extra. Just a subscription. You know I have problem going out and seeing someone face-to-face. And this one, you can actually do it through text, and that would be so much better. I don't know why, if he was the one handing the landlord this money, why the landlord was like, no, I want to talk to him first.
Wasn't like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what happened.
Did he hand him the money? Do we know that for sure?
I don't know. I'm just assuming.
I don't think I'd trust her to hand the money to anybody myself.
No, I wouldn't. Obviously, they argued about this for hours. In the documentary Handsome Devils, their friends said that she was yelling at him and calling him homophobic names again.
Because he wouldn't move out.
Trying to humiliate him. She was throwing his stuff out the door. He ended up being homeless and sleeping. And it was either an abandoned building or on a park bench near something like that with his stuff for a little bit.
Infuriate me.
Yeah.
Rightfully infuriated. He should have been. But he did get himself into that situation.
Actually, I don't know. When that particular part happened, that may have been before that. I think that was before this, when they were fighting before. And at this point, Zach was more worried and upset because he was supposed to have his kids that weekend as well.
Well, he can't do that now.
Yeah, he was homeless. There's no way he could do that.
I mean, you could, but it'd be awful awkward.
Well, the argument led to Zach strangling Addie, which he writes about later in the last pages of her journal, which I'll read a bit of on that later. And just a note, I've probably mentioned it before. According to their friends, before this happened, Zach had always been the more calm and nonviolent one in their relationship.
But everybody has their limits. Yeah. She just stole their apartment.
Addie had been the one that always pushed the buttons and was known to be physically and verbally abusive and outright cruel. One of them actually said outright cruel. So
I must have something wrong with me today because I'm feeling such a terrible anger at this woman.
No. Imagine being the one listening to this book, watching these documentaries and doing more research on the internet about this.
It can't be good for you.
It really did. It messed with me because you should feel bad for her. But it is so hard because honestly, the patience he had with her all along, and he wasn't, like I said, able to talk about what was going on. It's a difficult situation either way. After Zach murdered Addie, he simply went to sleep and then to work the next morning.
Oh, you said strangled. You didn't say murdered.
Oh, yeah, it killed her. The strangling led to death. I was trying to figure out a way to organize this because most of it is like the book and everything. It mentions the crime scenes first. I didn't want to do that because then that tells you everything.
Yeah.
And I wanted to wait till the end to tell.
Nobody will blame this man. I mean, the people that don't know him might, but...
There's, like I said, that one person, which was her manager, I believe, and she wasn't, like, around.
And she lived off tips, so yeah. Of course she's going to act different at work.
Exactly. He told their friends that they had broken up and that she had left to go back to North Carolina.
Only half of that's a lie.
Oh. Some of his friends said he did seem odd and that it didn't really sit right with them, but they also said that just up and leaving spontaneously was something that Addie would do, so they didn't really question it. His friends said that he started insisting they go out partying more during this time, and some said that he was talking about going on a vacation. He was going to strip clubs, more drugs and drinking, more so than before, and seemed to be in good spirits.
It's a side effect of drugs, drinking, and strip clubs.
Well, this is all during the week he was living with her rotting corpse.
Yeah.
During this time as well, he also called Lana and asked her to bring the kids to the grocery store where he worked so they could visit him.
Oh.
He allowed them to choose candy and he gave Lana some child support money. He also asked if he could have them the next week since Addie had left, or so he said.
I mean, she had left. She's not there no more.
Yeah.
The spirit has fled.
Alana agreed and told the kids that they would be staying with their father the next weekend. Zach called her again while partying and drunk one night.
Oh, no.
And he tried to convince her to go partying with him. She made it clear that they were separated and that they were each in their own relationship with other people, and that it would be inappropriate for them to celebrate their marriage. But he also made this a little bit insulting comment of, I think it was, I want to party with my favorite stripper.
That's actually kind of sweet.
She didn't think so.
But if it's what you are, what's wrong with that?
I don't know if she still was at this point.
Oh.
I really don't know. After about a week of living with Addie's body still rotting in the apartment, Zach came home and burned himself 28 times with a cigarette. It was one burn for each year he was alive, and he mentioned that he did this for each of his failures in that journal that he was writing in. That was Addie's.
She has to be smelly.
Oh, yeah. She definitely has to be. Zach Bowen went to the rooftop pool bar at the Omni Hotel, where he opened a tab and spent hours drinking. This was a place where he used to take his wife and kids to swim and enjoy themselves. Not Addie, like Lana and his kids when they were together. apparently some of the employees noticed he was acting strange, but they just assumed he was going to try to not pay for his tab. But I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. October 17, 2006, a guest at the Omni Hotel located on 621 St. Louis Street noticed a man's body outside his room window.
Oh, it's just New Orleans.
Well, actually, apparently after Hurricane Katrina, yes, but it wasn't exactly in this area of New Orleans that that happened.
Oh.
From what the police said, that was actually a common thing after Hurricane Katrina. He promptly notified the front desk, who then contacted the police. The police discovered the man's body on the roof of a parking garage after he had jumped from the hotel roof 5 stories above. He died instantly on impact. Apparently, there was only like a little blood coming out of his mouth. It didn't really look that bad or gruesome.
Lovely.
Yeah. In the man's pocket, authorities found a Ziploc bag containing army dog tags belonging to Zachary Bowen. In this bag, they also found a folded piece of paper labeled "For Police Only."
That worked.
The police unfolded the paper, which had written on it, "This is not accidental. I had to take my own life to pay for the one I took. If you send a patrol to 826 North Rampart, you will find the dismembered corpse of my girlfriend Addie in the fridge, along with full documentation for the both of us and a full signed confession from myself. The keys in my right front pocket are for the gates. Call Leo Watermeyer to let you in. Zach Bowen."
Now we know who that landlord is that let that woman take the house.
Yeah. And also, I didn't put this in my notes either, but I think it was the book that mentioned the police actually went in and forced Leo to let them in his apartment. For some reason, I think they believed that it was his apartment, and he was like, "What's going on?" And then he realized it was Zach's apartment, or I guess Addie's apartment that they needed to be let into.
Yeah, they just confused.
Yeah. The hotel security cameras recorded Zach Bowen jumping off the roof at 8:30 p.m.
Right on time.
Yeah, and this was after he paced back and forth for a period of time. At around 10 p.m., the police arrived at the address mentioned in the note and were granted entry by Leo. Upon entering the apartment, police discovered litter scattered across the floor. This was including many empty alcohol containers and cigarette butts. The air conditioning was running full blast, and according to the officers, they compared it to feeling like a meat locker. The walls had black spray painted words, including phrases such as, "I love her," "total failure," "please call my wife," "please help me stop the pain," "look in the oven." Inside the oven, authorities discovered a tinfoil lined pan containing a set of charred feet and legs. Upon lifting the lid off a pot on the stove, they discovered the hands, while in another pot, they found Addie's boiled head.
Why did he just cook them and not get rid of them?
I don't know. He probably was not in a great mental state, and he didn't know what to do with them, I'm assuming.
I have a question. Did she have any family? Local people who talked to her or tolerated her?
No, she was from North Carolina.
So,
and she also was that hippie.
Yeah.
Travel free spirit.
And the friends didn't care enough to look into it too deeply. He could have just dropped those anywhere in a swamp and got away with it. He already boiled them and everything.
Like I said, I don't think clearly at this time he was in the right state of mind, obviously. Her torso was discovered inside the refrigerator, wrapped in a black garbage bag.
Hadn't boiled that yet. Yeah. Baked it.
Officers made remarks that they had never encountered a crime scene as disturbing as that one, and that they had to take mental breaks. Zach Bowen had murdered Addie on October 5th, 2006. In the final pages of Addie's journal, an 8-page confession was written by him.
Huh.
Among some of its contents was, quote, "She had stolen this apartment, tried to kick me out, and wouldn't shut the fuck up, so I very calmly strangled her. It was very quick. After sexually defiling the body a few times, I was posed with the question of how to dispose of the corpse." He also mentioned that before placing her head inside the pot to boil, he had given her an awful haircut. That evening, he placed her body in the bathtub and started dismembering them with a knife and a saw. He continued to live with her decomposing corpse for days, and though she was found in the oven, there was no evidence to suggest that he had actually eaten any of her remains. His autopsy found no evidence to suggest that he had eaten anything of her.
Good. He was thinking about how to get rid of the body and then kind of gave up halfway through.
Yeah.
He was on a good path. I think he would have got away with this dude. I feel bad for him. Yeah. She needed her medicine. She might have been better for saying that. She might not have been any good without the medicine, for all I know.
I don't know. Some news articles and rumors had people believing he had eaten her. One of the misleading articles was...
That's because it sells.
Yeah. A New York Post headline that read, "Gal Pal Gumbo."
Sorry. I shouldn't laugh at that, but that's good.
Damn.
That's something you get ChatGPT to come up with.
On October 18th, Lana received the call informing her that Zach had passed away and what he had done to Addie Hall. Lana phoned Zach's mother to inform her, and a neighbor said that he had noticed in the week after the murder of Addie, he noticed that the bathroom light in their apartment was constantly on, which is kind of creepy that you're constantly looking in the bathroom window.
If it's a dark alley and there's only one light, that is no...
Who's to say there wasn't some sort of curtain? You could just see the light, though. This made the neighbor feel unsettled. He had actually lived in the apartment that Addie and Zach were in before, but he moved out because he said he didn't get good vibes from it.
Oh, it's the voodoo thing again, isn't
it? Yeah. Before he moved out, he actually had a priest bless the apartment. He also said that one night while the horrors in the apartment were happening, he noticed what looked like a shadow person outside his window on his balcony. He also said he saw what looked like shadowy people dancing outside in the yard on that day. That's when he ended up calling a friend to come to his place to keep him company. While visiting John, his friend happened to smell a foul odor, but didn't pay much mind to it, considering that New Orleans is filled with many various odors, and I agree, I probably wouldn't have noticed it either.
That's a kind way of saying the city smells like a swamp, because it used to be one.
Yeah.
And it currently is turning into one again.
It kind of smells like trash, too.
Oh.
I'm not trying to be rude. If you go into a restaurant, it smells great, but if you're just walking out on the street in most places, some places, it smells like trash.
I haven't been in a properly smelly city yet.
And I loved it, but I'm not going to lie about that. It does. But I did love my visit there.
That's nice.
So I can understand why he wouldn't really notice much about it. Zach's kids, after what they found out about their father, because a psychiatrist advised they should be told every detail about it.
Oh.
Yeah. Jackson was 8 years old at the time. He ended up being very quiet and shy. Lily was 6 years old. She used art as an outlet. She drew pictures of Zach jumping off the roof. She also ended up having stomach problems afterwards.
Ulcers.
And believed, yeah, this was believed to be due to the trauma of the situation.
I had those as a kid, too.
I didn't. Among the many inappropriate articles being written, jokes were being told about this horrific event going around New Orleans, and people also began selling merchandise. One in particular was a t-shirt that said, "Nothing says lovin' like my girlfriend in the oven." Now true crime and paranormal tours stop by the apartment, and for a while, I don't know if it's still this way, but for a while, the apartment was renovated to look like when the real horrors happened there and tours were offered.
I guess. You can expect that kind of stuff, especially in a city like New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where spooky is the way things are. Why not?
Well, it obviously, there was a lot of backlash from what I understand. I'm not sure if this is still happening. I don't think it is, but
that's a difficult one. The priest downstairs is loving it.
Yeah. I actually think maybe she might have been the one to do it. I could be wrong. That one could be wrong.
In all fairness, she's the one that had to put up with them bickering above her store for so long.
I forgot what her name is. Apparently, she's a popular one, though. So I could be wrong. It might not have been her. But this is a difficult one. On one hand, I like the dark tourism thing and the paranormal and true crime tours, but maybe decorating the apartment to look like it did when this tragic event took place, it may have been too much at the time, because I think this happened not long after the whole thing happened.
The whole city was trying to find a way to make money at the time.
Yeah.
Probably still is.
Because I have a dark tourism thing myself. I'm very interested in it, but I can also see why that would definitely...
Well, that was a tragic story.
Oh, Lana apparently admitted to, over this whole thing, tried committing suicide a few times. And she also believed that when he was inviting her out to party, a part of her believed that he was either going to do the same thing to her, but then I don't think he was. I think he genuinely loved her. I really don't know. Obviously, he wasn't in the right state of mind, but I don't think he was going to do that to her.
Yeah.
I think he was wanting his last... I think he knew what he was going to do and wanted his last time with her to be good. But I don't know. That's one of those things you don't know. I think she changed her mind about it, if I'm correct, in The Handsome Devils, because she's actually speaking herself in the documentary, The Handsome Devils. I said, it's only one episode, but...
I might watch this myself now that I've seen this, heard this. I don't know if I will, just because that woman makes me so mad.
The book has a lot more in it, like I mentioned, than the documentaries, but...
Okay. If you like what you heard here, we're part of the Gruesome Gaming Group podcast network. We have two other podcasts, one called Leveling Duo. It's a more sporadic episodes, but they're about video games. It'll be me and my sister or me and my friend Dakota, depending on who's talking about what game. We have Brother Knows Quest. It's a podcast that comes out every week. And it's where I tell Beth here about different tabletop role-playing games. It's not a review, more like a discussion or an explanation of what this particular game is going to be about. Then we have this one, of course. And in the link in the description, there will be a Linktree link. It'll take you to all of our other links. A lot of links in that word, so sentence. And in that, the first one will be our website, our main website. And it will take you to all of our podcasts where you can subscribe or follow them or whatever. Then below that will be YouTube and other things. So you can listen to us on YouTube if you like. Comment, like, share, review us on a podcast app or leave a comment, like I said, on YouTube. Let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear about. Emails below the Linktree link will be for the Gruesome Gaming Group and Beth. Horrific History and Hauntings email goes straight to her. The other one comes to us if you want to reach out for something else. Below all that will be a tip option if you would like to leave a tip or something like that. Feel free. We appreciate it. We'll shout out to you if you want us to. If you don't, let us know in the little comment section on the tip if you leave one. And feel free to keep an eye out. We're going to start streaming more things now that we've worked out more of the bugs of our streaming setup. Streaming from two different houses isn't easy sometimes.
Even if the houses are next to each other.
Yeah. So now that I've got that worked out again, because I don't want to just do it with me. I want to do like you involved somehow. That's what's taking so long.
Yeah. I would like to do Sims at some point as well, but like I said, it's...
Yeah, it's a matter of getting the house empty enough to where you don't have to listen to other people talk in the background. I soundproof things. She can't do that. She's got 12 dogs.
That's not 12.
I guess that's it. Thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.